Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We're on episode number
84.
All right. So we are on chapter 10, text number 30.
Beautiful.
Quick recap.
Krishna is still talking about all the things that he is in comparison to other things. And we had a really cool episode in which a lot of things connected.
Oh my God. So many synchronistic moments, full circles back around, right?
Yeah. If you don't know this, these episodes, we prepare by highlighting words that Prabhupada say and like trying to look up meanings of things and stuff like that. But when we come on air, everything is completely off the cuff. Like
totally.
We are just, you know, having a conversation with each other about the things that we're reading. And so it was so interesting that like we came up with like, talking about Vrindavan and stories of when Krishna was born. And then all of a sudden we were talking about Anantashesh and it all just kind of connected. And I just feel like it's Krishna guiding us.
Yeah. Because we brought up exactly what Priya's saying. Like we have no idea what each other's going to bring up. So it's totally like free falling, free form. Free falling sounds tragic.
Free form is great.
Free form. And we brought up this whole story that wasn't in the purport because it connected to one thing about Krishna. And then it brought it up one aspect of that in the next text. We were like, no way. This is all like wrapping up perfectly. So absolutely listen to that. It was a great one.
It was kismet.
It was what?
Kismet.
Kismet.
Ah, very nice.
Very nice. Very
destiny.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, look at that.
The invocation, please, ladies.
Mm. Yes.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation, I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
Jai.
All right, chapter 10, text number 30.
Among the daitya, demons, I am the devotee Prahlad. Among subduers, I am time. Among beasts, I am the lion. And among birds, I am Garuda.
Wow.
Ooh,
okay.
This is a cool list.
So let's break down daitya demons.
Yes. So it says here in the purport that the sons of Aditi are called Adityas and the sons of Diti are called Daityas.
So who are Diti and Aditi?
They're two sisters.
Okay.
And that's all we know. And all the Adityas are devotees of the Lord. And all the daityas are atheistic.
Okay.
So if you don't know the story, I don't know how much of the story we want to get into. But
Prahlad.
Basically...
Get into it. It's cute. It's okay. Beautiful. I mean, they mention it here and Prahlad was one of the best, most sincere devotees. Yeah.
All right,
get
let's
into
do it.
Whatever you want to say about that.
Okay. So Prahlad was a young child.
Mm.
He was maybe 5 years old. But his life starts a little earlier. You see, his mother and father... Well, his mother was married to a demon. And... How do I explain a demon? What would you guys say would be a good description of a demon?
Not good people.
Well, you have modern day demons like Hitler. He was demonic, right?
Right.
So like, but back
so
then.
So Hitler-esque.
Yeah.
Yes. And now the interesting part of this is that his father was incredibly knowledgeable.
Mm.
He understood the Vedas and everything, but he was also very greedy. And so even though he understood that, you know, what the Vedas are supposed to do, that you do sacrifices and that you meditate and you do all these things. He knew all of that knowledge. But he said, there is no God. I am God, right? Mm. That he was atheistic. And so...
Mm. Right, because it says, right, that Prahlad was born in the sect of the family that was atheistic.
Yes.
Daityas.
Yes.
But nonetheless, he was a great devotee from his childhood.
He was, because when his mother was pregnant with him in the womb, she happened to live with Narada Muni. And we talked about Narada Muni before.
Narayan, Narayan, Narayan.
I love that.
He was a great devotee of Krishna. In fact, Krishna says he's the greatest devotee. So therefore he is Narada out of all the sages, right? I believe that was the word he used. And so, Narada Muni took Prahlad's mom to where all of these devotees lived. And everywhere around, everyone was always chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And so Prahlad, from the womb, learned about the holy name. And even though being born in an atheistic family, when he returned at the age, I believe, of 5 to where his father lived with his mother, he was basically a devotee of Krishna by that point.
Was he with his mom? Yeah, with his mom in the womb.
With his mom the whole time.
Okay.
And so when he comes back, his father is like, what is this? You know, Vishnu, what is this? What are you talking about? There's no God. I am the greatest thing you'll know, you know, right. kind of thing. And he was like, Vishnu's my Lord. And, you know, he, unfortunately, as we said, his father was a demon. He tried to kill him many times because he would not change his faith. Right. He tried to take him to demon school and he tried to...
Demon school.
Yes.
Nice. As one does. Yeah. Yes. As demons do.
With a 5-year-old, you know. And all he did is make everyone he met into a devotee of Krishna.
Yeah. Such cute imagery, right? Little Prahlad there with his little student friends. And he's like, and then you have Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then the servants of the father come in. No, what are you doing? Stop. No.
Yes, they were very upset.
Stop brainstorming.
So they try to put him in a pit of snakes. Mm. They tried boiling him in a pot of boiling oil. And
oh my God. Ooh,
every time any of this happened.
More than awkward.
Super awkward.
But anytime this happened, Prahlad had so much faith that Vishnu would protect him that he would just pray. And the boiling oil became flower petals and the serpents were just all friendly to him, didn't bite him. And and every time something happened, Krishna protected him as Vishnu. Mm. And so Krishna always protected him. And that's kind of the story. We can go on further to, you know, how Nrsingadev appeared and all of that. But the main story is that he grew up with the holy name all around him. He was a faithful believer of Vishnu. And therefore, Krishna always protected him against his father, who wanted to kill him for not sharing the same atheistic, demonic beliefs.
Mm. So yeah. Go ahead. So I was just saying, Krishna's saying among the Daita demons, which that was the family that Prahlad was born into, Krishna says that I am the devoted Prahlad, which means, I think that means like Krishna is that spirit of faith, like unflinching faith and devotion.
Yeah.
That's and beautiful.
You know, what
process.
Yeah. Yeah. What Prahlad did, his faith, his devotion is similar to what Draupadi did when she was having her sari pulled. Mm-hmm. I think we've described that before. Mm-hmm. And instead, she was at first holding, trying to protect herself. But then when she realized this was out of her control, like we often do in situations in life, she just lifts her... Oh, I bumped all the cords. She lifts her hands and surrenders to Krishna and asks Krishna, please take over. Please protect me.
And if you don't remember the story, basically Draupadi was being undressed by a demoniac man. Yeah. And she was not being helped by anyone else in the room. And so she surrendered to Krishna as the sari, which is a really long cloth that is wrapped around a woman. As the sari was being pulled, Krishna was giving more fabric so that she was always covered.
Mm. And Shama, you brought up that beautiful image you saw when Krishna was himself crying while providing the cloth. So it's like he's totally there feeling our pains and sufferings. He's not above it like, oh, poor soul. Look at them squandering. Mm-hmm. No, he's feeling it. He's watching us. He's with us. From the time we've come into this material world, he's come here with us, feeling everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And so it's Prahlad Maharaj is an exemplary person. And Krishna saying of all the demons, I am that guy because he was a demon, but he was a pure devotee, very focused on his faith. And so I think that's kind of beautiful because he was born a demon. But
born in a demon family. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess that's not the right. It's not like it's a.
He was born a demon.
Born in a demon family.
Born in a demon family. Yeah.
Right. And just as because of his devotional service and godly nature, he is considered to be a representative of Krishna.
Wonderful. And then the second part of this verse, among subduers, I am time.
Oof. That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Prabhupada says there are many subduing principles, but time wears down all things in the material universe and so represents Krishna.
Wow. That's a profound sentence
subduing
right there.
Subduing principles.
Things that like, how would we describe subduing principles?
Well, to subdue is to...
It's a good question. Y'all should talk amongst you. How was your day today? Subdue definition means to overcome conquer. To bring under one control, yeah, or to
right.
conquer.
So, right, like our health can be subdued by old age, right?
Good example.
So subduing principles. So time inevitably is going to wear down everything.
It's going to conquer everything. It's like the everlasting overcoming.
Right.
That's no, like the thing that controls us.
Yeah. Wasn't that an Oppenheimer too? Like he used this Bhagavad Gita quote where he says, I am time.
Time, I am the destroyer
of worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Krishna is time. Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
That's crazy to feel.
I literally thought that, but then I said, wow, wow, wow.
How's it done, Shemily?
Okay,
so Krishna is time.
And amongst beasts, he is the lion.
The most powerful, ferocious.
The king of the jungle.
King of the jungle.
Yeah.
And amongst birds, he is Garuda.
So right, there's millions of varieties of birds, but Garuda is the bearer of Lord Vishnu. So the one who carries, Lord Vishnu flies on Garuda, this huge, huge devotee bird.
Yeah, this devotee bird that's kind of like Lord Vishnu's taxi, but like a really sensible, knowledgeable, wonderful bird.
I love that.
Do you know that there's an airline called Garuda Airlines?
Oh.
Is it based in India?
Based in Indonesia.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Garuda Airlines.
That's so fascinating.
So cool.
Sponsor us. Next podcast, Garuda Airlines.
Watch you send them little clips to all these just random things we mentioned. And they'll be like, stop spamming us.
Himalayas. Please visit the Himalayas. Elephant God. Please. No, I'm joking.
Wait, can I read the story of Garuda real quick?
Yes.
Okay, so Garuda was born to a sage and one of the wives of someone. I'm not going to say names because I think it'll make it more confusing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He was born to a sage.
Garuda.
Garuda. He had an older brother named Aruna. Oh. Garuda's mother had lost a bed with her co-wife and become her servant as a result.
I lost you.
I got you. Okay, so listen.
This is the devotee bird's mom and dad.
No, we're just talking about mom.
Got it.
And mom-in-law. I mean, mom, stepmom.
Got it. Okay.
So there's two moms, right? You remember back in the day, like there were a man would marry multiple women.
Polygamy. And,
okay.
Isn't that true though? Isn't that what
I
it is?
I wasn't trying to go down that path, but sure.
Okay, got it. So co-wife, you said co-wife, so I got confused. I was like, okay. Got it.
You know, they had
sister
like
wives.
Okay, yes. They were sister wives. But one of them wasn't so nice.
Okay.
And then it was Garuda's mom. She was nice.
She
so
was
the
nice.
Not nice one and her were betting on something. And Garuda's mom lost the bet.
Ooh, okay.
Because she lost the bet, she was now had to be the servant of her sister wife.
Oof.
Okay, got it.
Following so far?
Yeah, let me repeat it back to you, okay? So Garuda had a good mom.
Yeah.
And then he had kind of a not good stepmom.
Yep.
And then the good mom and the stepmom had a bet.
Mm-hmm.
Good mom lost the bet. And then she had to be subservient to the bad sister wife mom. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Drama.
So, I know. Intense, right?
This is a show on TLC.
So to free his mother, Garuda set out to obtain the elixir of immortality.
It all connects.
He was there too.
Oh,
wow. This is so interesting.
Oh, okay. That one. There you think it's that one?
I'm on the edge of my seat. Go ahead, keep going.
So he set out to obtain the elixir of immortality from the gods. To achieve this, he performed righteous penance and earned the favor of Lord Vishnu.
Wow.
Oh, this is a summarized story. I would love to know the full story now.
So what happened?
As a reward for his devotion and bravery, Lord Vishnu granted Garuda the boon of immortality and declared him as his mount, meaning like his
taxi.
His taxi,
yes.
Yeah.
Garuda then went to the abode of the gods and stole the pot of nectar containing the elixir of immortality.
Okay.
However, he faced many obstacles, including battles with powerful deities and demons. Eventually, Garuda succeeded in obtaining the elixir and brought it back to free his mother from servitude.
Oh.
Along the way, he encountered various challenges and performed numerous heroic deeds. Garuda's devotion to Lord Vishnu and his incredible strength and valor have made him a revered figure in Hindu mythology.
Okay. Wow. Can I just say that Garuda is such a wonderful sunbird? Bird son. He's a
sun. I was like, what are we saying?
So bird, browsing, it just gets trippier and trippier.
A bird who's a sun.
Child. Bird child.
Bird child. He is the best bird child. Because he went through all of that just to free his mom.
Yeah. Would you do that for your mama?
I would try my best, you know, but I'm not a very good bird child. Okay. Bird son. I'm not the best bird son. So, you know, I would probably give up after, you know, a couple demons. Okay.
I'm defeated.
I would give up after a couple demons. So Garuda is really, really precious. And he is a beautiful servant of Lord Vishnu.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I'm curious if it's the same elixir or not. And like,
yeah.
How many elixirs of immortality are there?
It made me think how far we've come in the episodes. Like in episode, whatever, first few. You were like breaking down everything for someone who just joins. And I just had a flash of someone just joining into this episode out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then they pulled on the serpent and the nectar of ocean, the ocean of nectar and the bird sun.
Yeah. If you were listening, please, I hope to God, this is not the first episode that you're listening to of the Modern Yogi Podcast. Okay.
If it is, go back to episode one.
Go back 82 episodes. Okay.
And if it's your 82nd episode and you're still like, I have no idea what's happening, please DM us and we'll answer your questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a little confusing. There are a lot of stories, a lot of names, yeah. But these are just like a lot of stories that we grew up with. So if something doesn't make sense, let us know.
And it makes you think, like, why not, right? Like, imagine someone visited planet Earth for the first time and they're like, you guys, there was these horses, but their necks stretched out for like feet and feet. And they had spots all over
and
them.
They were yellow. They were not the brown.
That doesn't sound like some like Walt Disney made up stuff.
We sound like psychopaths.
but what are we describing? You don't know. We read it and it just sounds trippy, but it's like when you actually see it, then it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And if you've ever been to an ISKCON temple, you would see Garuda usually in the temple facing the deities, sort of in the back, guarding the entrance. It is his job to sort of guard the temples, and he looks like a half bird, half man. So the lower part of... Wait.
Yeah, the lower part of Garuda is legs.
But
he also has wings.
But he also has like claws, right?
So he looks like a man bird.
He just has legs. That's the only difference. But like he's mostly bird.
Yeah.
But like, his upper body looks like a man's body.
He's like 70% bird.
No. With bird touches. He's a man bird with...
He's a bird with hints of man. Just
his chest looks like a man.
Everyone Google Garuda right now.
Garuda. Okay.
Let's look.
Let's do this. Let's take 5 seconds.
Okay.
So what do we have
here? No, he does have claws as feet. Like, you know, bird feet?
Yeah. Oh, there's so many depictions of him.
Garuda Airlines popped up.
Oh, he looks just like a man with a beak, claws, and like...
Yeah, but his upper body is totally that of a man.
Yeah.
He has a man's body with bird claws, bird face, and wings.
Yeah. Okay. That gives you a good description. He also wears a crown.
Yeah.
And he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
So that's text 30th. Text 31.
I think that's good to move on
text
there.
30th. Yeah. We're going to text 31st.
All right, 31st. Krishna is saying, of purifiers, I am the wind. Of wielders of weapons, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark.
Not the whale.
And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's very little purports. It's like one sentence. But I think it's of purifiers, I am the wind.
I find that so interesting because I would have thought that he would have said fire or water or some other thing. But I think that he already used those in a different way.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
right.
You know.
Right. Fire was like what? Powerful. Wind they're describing as a purifier. So like, okay.
You know when like it's like fall time and there's a whole bunch of leaves that have just fallen. Mm-hmm. And then literally like it would take you forever just to pick those up and put them in a trash bag. But like if there is like a windstorm, all of that is cleared up. Okay. It's like,
nice.
It's like, also like, you know, like those blowers on the sidewalk, they use blowing power to clean things
wind,
up.
Totally.
And so purifying power. And if he's wind, he's probably a really strong wind. Yeah. So Christian's the ultimate
like the
purifier.
Strongest wind. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Also, if we, I just looked up the why is wind considered a purifier, and it says wind has a natural cleansing effect as it can disperse pollutants, dust, and impurities from the air, water, and land.
Okay.
So its movement helps refreshen the environment and removes stagnant energy.
Okay. Stagnant energy.
That's
so
really cool.
I like that. The purifying effects of the wind.
Love that.
Nice.
Of wielders of weapons, I am Rama.
The most righteous wielder of weapons.
Beautiful. Yeah. Lord Ram. Jai Shri Ram.
We talked about Ram. Jai Shri Ram.
We had Ram. Jai Shri Ram.
Yeah, a few weeks ago. Yeah. And of fishes, I am the shark.
Okay, sure.
I love that.
And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges.
Wow. Yeah.
Why do you think he says he's the Ganges?
The Ganges. I mean,
have you ever been in the Ganges, like in the flowing part?
No.
Okay, so I went whitewater rafting in the Ganges.
Did you really?
Like a couple years. But yeah, it's like this like secluded part that's near Rishikesh.
Ooh.
And it was the most beautiful water. You can put your hand in and see your whole hand. Like, it's not like some certain parts of the Ganges that are super polluted and whatnot, but there was a secluded part near Rishikesh. And they do whitewater rafting tours down there. And it was so beautiful and so magical. And like, there's a different aura that's in the air when you're in that type of environment. And so of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Mm. And so that river was definitely flowing.
Oh my gosh. I actually just looked up, I typed ISKCON, the Ganges, the origin of Ganga. It's actually quite beautiful. I'll read one part and then you can tell me if you want to hear more.
Before you go on to that, I just want to respond to what you were saying. I've seen videos and like of what you're saying. Like I've never been to that part of like where the Ganges flows, but it looks like the beautiful shade of blue that I've never seen.
It's the most beautiful.
And it's like with white and blue, and it's just like rushing. It looks so clean and pure. Like you were describing it. I've seen it, and I can't wait to visit that once in my lifetime. I've seen pictures and videos. So
someone's making it up.
You were in Rishikesh.
Huh?
You were in Rishikesh.
Yes.
Wow. Can you describe for a second what that was like?
Oh my God. You know, okay. So you know what's so interesting is like Rishikesh has like such a different vibe. So Vrindavan is like, it's still like a city at the end of the day, you know, but Rishikesh is like, you feel a little outside of a city in a way. And it's just like, it feels more like nature a little bit.
Wow.
There's beautiful mountains, beautiful water. It's like, it feels crisp. Like the air feels really crisp out there. And it's just, it's beautiful.
Very nice. Yeah. Basically, it says the Ganges River emanates directly from the lotus feet of the lords, and it inundates the heavenly planets, especially the moon, and then flows through Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And here the river divides into four branches known as Sita, Alakananda, Chakshu, and Bhadra, which then flow down the ocean of salt water. So then they keep describing that. But I thought it's beautiful to think how it stems all the way from the feet of the Lord. And it says, Lord Vishnu once approached Bali Maharaj while the king was performing a sacrifice. The Lord appeared before him as in a different form, as Vamana, begging alms from the king in the form of three steeps of land. And with two steps, Lord Vamana covered all three planetary systems and pierced the universe with his toes. It continues describing it, la, 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 la. Anyway, and it somehow, it connects to the Ganges. Right. Should I continue reading it? No, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's deep.
Krishna is the Ganges.
I think another way in which Krishna is the Ganges is that the Ganges hold an immense significance for a lot of people in India, as well as all of us in international places, because it is believed to be a place of purification, right? And so it's a place to cleanse sins and lead to spiritual purification. And so therefore Krishna is like, of all the rivers, I'm this great river who is so purifying and so spiritually... what's the word, ladies? Spiritually
cleansing.
Spiritually powerful, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that.
Let's go with that. Yeah, that's good.
So, of the rivers, he is the Ganges.
Let me say one thing I actually just saw, and this is very interesting. Where they were going with that is Krishna in a different form as Vamana, his foot pierced one covering of the universe, and a few drops of water from the causal ocean, which we've mentioned, leaked through a hole and fell on Lord Shiva's head, where they remained there for 1,000 millenniums. These drops of water became the sacred Ganges River. So it basically at first flows from the heavenly planets, which are located on the soles of Lord Vishnu's feet. So wow. I thought that's very interesting.
Very
powerful
amazing.
Water.
Powerful water.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Oh, yes. And just when anyone does RT or anything like that, the water they use for purification is Ganges water. So it's like the purest of it all, right? So like it's
right.
You know what's so crazy? Because there was an eclipse a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. What my mom told me to do was after the eclipse is over, and I did this because I believe in astrology way too much. Okay, but because it's such an auspicious time or inauspicious time during the eclipse. It's like you have to take a little bit of water from the Ganga, the Ganges, and put it all over your house, actually, because that is the most purifying agent that you can do during that inauspicious time. Right. So here I am just like squirting water everywhere. And my partner's like, don't get it on the hardwood. And I was like, all right.
For today, I will.
Yeah, for today, I will.
Try to save you.
All right, ladies, text 32.
All right. Me?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Nice.
Of all creations, I love this one. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle, O Arjuna. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. And among logicians, I am the conclusive truth.
Mm.
Wow.
Okay.
Well. Big statements. Mm-hmm. So basically, the purport dives into. Did we want to say something before the purport?
No, go crazy.
I think we'll get to it. I was just thinking about the aspect of all logicians. I am the conclusive truth. Because I took a logic class in college and I don't know if you've ever taken a logic class, but basically it's a lot of lawyers do it. And it's sort of like, if this, then this must be true. And there's like these rules. It's kind of mathematical for like how to find the truth of something. And Krishna's like, there's nothing to debate. Of logicians, people who have to decide if this, then that. I am the conclusive truth.
Wow. Mic drop.
There's nothing here to do the math for. It's just for us.
Wow. That's really cool.
Very nice. Very cool that you took that class also.
Among magicians, I am the conclusive truth.
And you know, since you brought that up, we can just bring up what Prabhupada said about that section in the purport. It's very interesting because Prabhupada said, okay, among logicians, there are different kinds of arguments. So supporting one's argument with evidence that also supports the opposing side is called jalpa. Merely trying to defend one's position is called Vedanta, but the actual conclusion is called Vada. And then the conclusive truth is a representation of Krishna.
Wow.
Cool.
And that's how it is. There's like different arguments that you can make, like in different statements. And it's like this whole logic foundation. And so
interesting.
It's really cool.
Super cool.
Wow.
Yeah. The whole story.
Very
all right.
Nice.
Of all creations, I am the beginning, the end, and also the middle.
Okay. So yeah, well, let's break that down. Basically, in the purport, it starts with saying, among the created manifestations, the first is the creation of the total material elements. So we've talked about this before, that the cosmic manifestation is created and conducted by Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Siradakshay Vishnu. And then again, it's annihilated by Lord Shiva. And we dove into that in a good extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. About the day of Brahma, because Brahma is a secondary creator. So then all these different agents of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, they're all incarnations of the material qualities, Prabhupada says, of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, it's basically, he's saying Krishna is a creator of the creator that we know. If Brahma is the creator, Krishna is a creator of him. Therefore,
I like that, creator of the creator, yeah.
Therefore, he is the beginning. There is no beginning before, like he created the creator that, you know, did everything else. So...
Right.
And of the destroyers, he created the destroyers. So he's the destroyer of the destroyers, like at
I
the end
love
of the day.
That.
Like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? No, like Krishna created both of them.
yes.
Yeah, essentially.
Look at that for a logical argument.
Exactly.
I love it. So that's why he's the beginning, the middle, and the end of all creation.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's, as we said before, Krishna's always been, will always be, and will never cease to be.
Right.
Yes.
This is also going back to the Trinity, right? Because Brahma's the usual creator, right?
Right.
Vishnu's the maintainer. Shiva's the destroyer. But in actuality, it's all Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great tying.
Yeah,
it's
I love
exactly, because, you know, the maintainer, the creator, and the destroyer. But Krishna's actually creating all of them, maintaining all of them, and destroying all of them.
And and how you said, Priya, he's the creator of the creator and the destroyer of the destroyer. So thus, logically, it would only make sense. Krishna's the beginning, middle, and the end.
He's
all the truth.
And he's the maintainer of the maintainer.
Yeah,
like the maintainer cannot be maintained without Krishna. So he's everything.
He is everything. I love how excited we're getting about this.
So excited right now.
The realization.
So good. So good.
We just nerded out on the Gita. Among logicians. Okay, perfect. And then, so we're good, yeah?
No, and then the last part, because we kind of jumped to the beginning, the end and the beginning. In the middle part says, the maintainer part says, of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. Mm. So then about this, he just kind of, Prabhupada in the part that connects to this is, it's a nice breakdown of the books. He kind of says, for advanced education, there are different kinds of books, such as the four Vedas, and there's six supplements, the Vedanta Sutras. Those are books on logic, books of religiosity, and the Puranas. So altogether, I didn't know, there are 14 divisions of books of education.
Hmm.
Of these, the books which preside Adhyatma Vidya, or spiritual knowledge in particular, the Vedanta Sutra, those represent Krishna. Because, right, the Vedas are so vast, right? And there's so many different, maybe, books on knowledge. And here Prabhupada highlighted these different ones. But the core ones that talk about the spiritual, how to attain the supreme, that's the essence.
I was, when you were first reading that, I was like, why are we talking about the different books? But I realize now, because when I was thinking of all the sciences, I was literally thinking like astronomy, biology. Like, I was thinking of our material sciences.
Mm, right,
but I think,
right,
realistically speaking, these Vedanta Sutras and the Vedas itself, they contain all the sciences, right?
Totally.
These books are actually telling you how humans came to be created, how everything works, how our bodies work, how our mind works, how our senses work, how everything in the, so like all of the sciences that we think we're exploring and learning ourselves are already written down somewhere in the Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
And so Prabhupada's kind of like, if you're talking about science, we're talking about the ones that it's been written for thousands of years, and we're just trying to understand it ourselves. But out of all of those, the Vedanta Sutra represents Krishna, right?
It's
like out of all the best of sciences, which is science of self-realization, which is the only way in which we can understand our real purpose in life and what we're doing and, you know, how everything works. So after you finished reading it, I was like, I understand what you're saying.
I like that breakdown, what you just explained, though. Science of the self.
You know what's so interesting is that you can study so many different things, right? Mm. You could study physics and astronomy and study all those things, right? But all of them will not help you get out of this rat race that is material world, right? And so why does like the science of the self? It's because it helps you get out of this, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes it powerful.
Sorry. Well, and even if you didn't have the goal of getting out of the rat race because you didn't think that was the end goal of everything, like a lot of those sciences don't even answer the questions that you have about like why difficult things happen to you in your life. Like they don't really have the answers for how the world works and why you're struggling so much and what to do when you're struggling so much and like how to cope with things. And so even if you're not at the point where you're like, yes, Krishna is everything and I need to go back to Godhead and I need to follow all these paths, like it's still like so much more helpful than any other science that is out there.
Yeah. Nothing else can answer those questions.
Well, it was like there was a philosopher that I'm blanking. I knew it at the time, the name, but he said, after studying everything, I've come to the conclusion that I know nothing, you know, because unless you have some direction, some spiritual wisdom and foundation there, it won't help you.
Yeah. Play.
As Socrates.
Socrates, there we go. I took a philosophy of religion class in college and we studied him also.
Very nice.
Yes,
very nice.
Yes. Love it.
Okay, shall we do the next one?
Yes.
Beautiful.
33.
All right. Okay, I just laughed because it was kind of funny, the first sentence. Of letters, I am the letter A.
Prabhupada will explain.
And actually, okay, I'm going to read it first. Of letters, I am the letter A. And among compound words, I am the dual compound.
Say what?
I am also inexhaustible time. And of creators, I am Brahma. This is a weird, random combination of things.
I'm like, okay. I think he was like, he had to say it all in one breath. So he was just like, I am this, I am this, I am this, and I am also this. And it's like, you put a random bag together, Krishna.
Part of the reason I laughed is because the letter A is not the first letter in the Sanskrit alphabet.
Well, Prabhupada says A-kara.
Akara.
Is the first letter of the Sanskrit alphabet.
I know the translation, they translated it in English to make sense to us, which is A is the first letter, but in Sanskrit, it wouldn't just be A.
Right. So that's not even what Krishna originally said.
No, originally he said, of letters, I am the first letter. Mm. If you look at the Sanskrit, that is the actual...
Aksaranam akarosmi. Right.
So Krishna is the beginning of the alphabet.
Yes.
Right. So akara, the first letter of the Sanskrit alphabet, is the beginning of the Vedic literature. Without akara, nothing can be sounded. Therefore, it is the beginning of sound.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm. It says in Sanskrit, there are also many compound words, of which the dual word, like Brahma-Krishna, is called dvandva. In this compound, the words Brahma and Krishna have the same form, and therefore the compound is called dual. I don't know why...
That's something we needed to know.
It's interesting.
I'm like trying to process like how it's hard to understand because we don't know Sanskrit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess dual compound is like the superior form of compound words. Because if it's superior, then that must be Krishna.
Hi-o.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go. I can live with that. And then he says, I am in inexhaustible time, which we also talked about.
Okay. Right. Among
before.
Yeah. Interesting. He repeats it. Yeah. Among all kinds of killers, time is the ultimate because time kills everything. Okay. Mm. Time is the representative of Krishna because in due course of time, there will be a great fire and everything will be annihilated. Oh, interesting.
Mm. Fascinating.
And then he also says, I am Brahma. Among the living entities who are creators, Brahma, who has four heads, is the chief. Therefore, he is a representative of the Supreme Lord Krishna.
Mm. Makes sense. As we said before, Brahma is the creator, but the creator of the creator is Krishna. And therefore, Krishna is going to be like, of creators, I'm going to be the highest one, which is Brahma.
Yeah.
After myself, because he is the greatest creator.
Wild. Wow. It's also kind of like, he's kind of saying, it's like, if he is the beginning of the alphabet, then he's also like, we can't have any languages without this too, right? So like every language, it starts from Krishna.
And part of the reason is that the way that, at least from the little bit, from the year and a half that I was learning Bengali, the way that words are pronounced is let's say about Spanish, right? Yep. If you don't have the A sound, how do you say words that have the A? Like there's no mama, papa, there's no words. So basically it's saying without that vowel, you cannot create words that would need that vowel in a sense.
That's fair, yeah.
So it's like it's used in so much that it's a little different because I feel like the alphabet is different in Sanskrit than it is in English. So it's not as simple as just an A, ah sound.
Right.
But yes.
All right.
I think that's what it means.
Nice. Anything before we move on to text 34?
No. Wow. We're going to do... many texts this
one. Let's do it.
I think it's the last one. Yeah.
Shama Sangeeta.
Oh, yes. Okay. Krishna is saying, I am all devouring death and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Mm. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience.
Okay. So interesting. Let's break it down.
Yeah, I am all devouring death. I think he talked about that before. He said he's Yama and...
Yeah, you know, Prabhupada words it in such a like, oof, way. As soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment.
That's true, though. That's real. That's real.
Thus, death is devouring every living entity at every moment, but the last stroke is called death itself. Mm. So, right, Prabhupada sees like, it's all death. We're always dying, but
we're constantly dying.
How you doing? I'm dying.
Imagine.
You?
We should say that to each other.
Right. I'm also dying. What a quinky dick.
Honestly, no, as
you
women,
also time.
No way.
Wow. We're like synced up.
I, I find it funny. I mean, maybe this is not something that happens to y'all, but I feel like I'm dying all the time of all kinds of things. I'm dying of hunger. I'm dying of tiredness. I am dying.
What did you say the song that you sung back from? That you called it all
what? Life is a highway.
So yeah, but instead you said life is miserable or something like that. You replaced it with that.
Oh, what were the lyrics I made up?
Life is a nightmare. Yeah. I'm gonna ride all night long.
I don't know what I was thinking.
I swear we're a positive
I'm
optimistic.
Dying, you're dying. She's dying, he's dying.
I swear we're long. A positive optimistic
we really
podcast.
We say this
that
laughing.
Is good for your mental health. Yeah.
We actually really cheery, happy people. Really? I don't know. Where this really is coming from. Anyways.
That death is Krishna, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
That death meaning the final death.
I mean, probably all deaths, but particularly here we're talking about the all-devouring final stroke of death is Krishna.
Okay. Cool.
And as for future development, Prabhupada says all living entities undergo six basic changes. We've talked about this. We're born, we grow, we remain for some time, produce, dwindle, and finally we vanish.
Mm. So you said produce?
Reproduce. Right, of course. We reproduce. And of these changes, the first is deliverance from the womb, and that too is Krishna.
Can I say that one more time, that Liz? Or can you say it one more time slower?
Go for it.
So we are born, we grow.
Yeah.
We remain for some time.
Okay. But we're dying, don't forget.
Okay. We reproduce. We dwindle and then we finally vanish.
Wow.
Six basic changes. That's so interesting that they break it down like that. Six changes.
I think it's because it's like sort of like the wait. Is it because, okay, I'm speculating.
What?
It's a speculation about to come.
Okay.
Okay. So every 7 years our bodies fully change, right?
Yeah.
So is it that like, if we go through each stage, we're born, right? So we're born, then we grow. When we're seven, we grow into like older kids now.
Yeah.
Then we remain for some time because that's a long period of time of like being like youth.
Yeah.
And then we reproduce. So is it talking about like the cycles of life, like the stages of life almost?
Yeah.
Sort of
yeah,
like
the stages
birth,
of life.
Childhood, like adolescence.
Can you repeat that word one more time?
Say it.
I just need to hear it again.
Say it.
One more time.
Shut up. I'm not saying
I don't know how to pronounce
again.
It. Can you?
Adolescence. Is that the right word?
Adolescence.
Sorry. That was hilarious.
I think I forgot how to say it correctly.
Adolescence. I'm actually going to call it that from now on.
I think, isn't that how you say it in Spanish? Adolescencia.
Adolescencia.
That's why you guys speak Spanish, you meanies.
It's okay.
Adolescence. It's cute. Okay. Continue your thoughts.
Anywho, so you're born and then like, you know, 7 years later you grow and 7 years later you're a teenager. And then 7 years later you're maybe old enough to like have children.
Yeah.
And then 7 years later, well, that seems like a really short 7 years. Anyways, I was thinking
maybe there's like 14 or 21 in between there somewhere. Oh, yeah.
In the area where it says we remain for some time.
So I agree, it's the stages, but you're trying to connect it to how every 7 years our bodies fully change.
I was thinking
about that. Could be.
But I think it's the stages for sure.
Right. And it's interesting that of these changes, the first is deliverance from the womb. And Prabhupada says, and that is Krishna. So in other words, Krishna is life.
Because well, Krishna is life.
Krishna's life.
Literally. Krishna is life. Football is life.
And
Krishna is life.
And Krishna is death.
Krishna is also death.
And we're always dying.
So if you don't know that reference, go watch Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso all the way.
Please sponsor us, Amazon. Okay. Apple Plus.
Apple Podcast.
Ooh, now they're definitely not going to sponsor us.
Amazon. Okay. Now, I think we should get to the second part of this report because I think it's important.
The first generation is the beginning of all future activities. Well, I don't know what that means, but okay.
Okay. So he is very specifically, Krishna is saying something that is for the ladies. It is ladies night. Okay. He says, among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. That is very interesting for Krishna to specify these particular qualities in women. And he has those qualities.
Right, because here in the purport it says the seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience are considered feminine.
Mm.
Interesting. So if a person possesses all of them or some of them, they're considered glorious. Now, if one is famous as a righteous man or woman, that makes them glorious.
Wow. Okay.
So interesting that those qualities, though, are feminine. I don't know if it's in Sanskrit the same way, but it, like in Spanish, all nouns, every word, even though it's inanimate, has a gender associated. You say el or la. Mm. El sol, the sun, la luna. So that lends its way to many beautiful poems about the moon, masculine, chasing the sun around the world.
Interesting. Yeah.
That is so cool that we're being given all these qualities.
Look at us, ladies.
Okay. All right. I'm okay with that. So I guess maybe in Sanskrit, those opulences are considered feminine.
Yeah.
Right? If it's a language thing, if that...
Potentially.
Okay.
I also think it's really cool that it's describing that women have the ability to be steadfast. Because I have heard this from many women and other people as well, saying that like women make the best faithful, like followers is not the right word. Just sort of
groundedness,
spiritual groundedness, and understand, like they can understand the philosophy easier.
Yeah.
And they can conceptualize and become better devotees easier because they can connect to these feminine qualities and have this steadfastness.
Ooh, you know, that's so real. I was watching Moses on Netflix. There's like a 3-part series about Moses on Netflix. And like literally time after time after time, the only reason why Moses was able to do and keep his head in check was because of his wife. Oh. Because his wife had steadfastness. She had faith. Oh, she had patience. Wow. She had all of those things that kept Moses on track.
And those were the qualities Krishna was saying.
Yes. Wow. She had good speech. She had memory. She had intelligence. She definitely had patience and she had steadfastness.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, she
person.
Kept him in check.
Wow.
For sure.
So sweet.
What did you say about language, Shama? Because here they say Sanskrit is a perfect language and is therefore very glorious.
I was thinking, like, I was pointing it to, you know how, like, la luna, el sol. I like when you speak Spanish. Okay, but yeah, if that in Sanskrit, these are more feminine things, right? If like the sun is more feminine and the moon is more masculine in Spanish, then maybe these things.
Sorry, opposite. La luna, feminine. I butchered that.
Oh, sorry.
So the sun would be chasing the moon.
Oh, okay.
So that would make sense. Also, the moon is very in tune with like moving the tides and women are connected to the cycles of the moon. Anyway,
that's very interesting. So yeah. I know, I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah
I think it might be onto something, because also like the goddess of fortune, right? Like there's qualities attached to
right
so potentially
Sarasvati, the goddess of speech, right?
Intelligence who is intelligence?
It's Sarasvati
I was gonna say, isn't it Sarasvati?
No,
that's good. That's all I was saying.
Prabhupada goes into an interesting breakdown of like, okay, so if after studying, one can remember a subject matter, he's gifted with good memory or smriti. Okay, check. The ability to not only read many books on different subjects, but to understand them and apply them when necessary is intelligence, medha, which is also another opulence.
I read that and I highlighted that. I think that's so fascinating.
Yeah, no?
Mm-hmm.
To apply it. So we're here talking about these things, trying to apply it, not just have it be dormant knowledge that is left in the book.
Mm-hmm. And then it says, when one is fully qualified, yet is humble and gentle, and when one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in ecstasy of joy, he has the opulence called patience.
Mm.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because you do have certain qualities that are more quote unquote feminine and other qualities that are more masculine. And even in, like I said, communications, you can be a feminine communicator or a masculine communicator, regardless of if you're a
gender,
regardless of gender. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's just some qualities that are very just naturally feminine qualities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very cool that this whole list, Prabhupada writes, they're considered feminine.
Yeah.
And Krishna's saying, among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience.
Beautiful.
Right. Because there was a whole list of different opulences and qualities of Krishna. So he's kind of like, I guess, specifying those as feminine.
Yes.
No. Anything else, guys?
I think that's it.
All right. This is very fun. This is very fun to know all of the things that Arjuna was like, hey, how do you want us to remember you? And he's saying all these beautiful things. And now I'm going to remember Krishna in these all these little ways.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Cool. All right. So we will be back next episode, chapter 10, text number 35.
See you next time.
Bye. beautiful souls, if you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.